Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you give a loud hallelujah to Jesus this morning? Because we're here before him again. The song we sang. We sang, God is so good, and it's so good to be before God who is so good. Amen? Okay, the sermon, whatever I'm saying is prayed for, so I'm not going to pray. So we're going to jump right into it. I just want to ask you guys, how do I look? I'll tell you how I thought of my outfit. Black or gray, that's a staple in church, right? White, because I don't know, apparently we wear white. And red, to compliment the pimples on my face. Let's get right into it. I'm taking the message today from Luke chapter 16. I'm going to read one verse for you specifically. Don't worry, you can just turn to it for me. I'll summarize the story for you. What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig and am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So, does anyone know about this chapter? Luke chapter 16. When I was just praying one day and I heard Luke chapter 16 verse 3 and I said, there's a Luke chapter 16. And then I went and read the story, and I was like, how did I skip over this story? Because when I read it, I was so confused. And I thought, why would Jesus say this specific parable? And you have to understand the contents of it to see to understand why I was thinking that. So this is how the story goes. So Jesus was telling the parable of the shrewd manager. That's the title of my message. So there once was a rich man in this area. I don't know where Jesus doesn't specify. But just, he's probably the richest man there. Just imagine that. He's super rich. He's so rich, he has a manager who's managing all his personal goods. The only problem with this manager was that he was a bad manager. Like, the Bible doesn't say exactly why he was bad, but one day, someone comes to the master and tells him, hey, your manager, he's doing a terrible job. He's making you lose a lot of money. So the master calls in the manager and tells him, hey, you gotta go. You're not helping me out. You're not doing too great. But before you go, just give me all your papers and all the accounts you've been doing so I know the mess that you've made. So then the bad manager thinks to himself, man, I've been sitting in the office for all my life. I'm now fired. I just made the most richest man in this area angry. So there's no way no one else is going to hire me. It specifically says, I'm too weak to dig. So he's not ready for manual labor. He saw the Amazon warehouse fulfillment job on the TTC bus for $17 an hour. It looks very pleasing, but he knows he's not up for that. He doesn't have the muscle. And he also says that he's so ashamed to beg. So he decides to do something. He decides to call back all the people who owe his master. And he calls the first person. The first person owes 100 measures of oil. In some translations, it says olive oil. 100 measures. And he says, hey, you know that bill I gave you before last month or something? Yeah, come here and just mark it down from 100 to 50. Then he calls the next person, 100 measures of wheat. Oh, you know I told you 100, don't worry about it. Here, take 80. And then he calls so many people and he cuts down his bill. And then I'm like, wow, this guy's terrible. He's making his manager lose money. But then I look at, and then what surprised me was what the manager said. He said he actually commended the bad servant for being shrewd. Why did the rich man commend a dishonest manager, someone who made him lose money? So we had to look at the definition of shrewd. So I didn't really know what shrewd meant. I'm going to be completely honest. So if you look at shrewd, it means being able to take the right judgments, being very sharp in the judgments that you make. And also in the Message translation, it makes me laugh sometimes. It says that you're street smart. So he's super street smart. So why did the master commend this manager who actually, you know, maybe damaged his business? It's not because he was dishonest with his work, but because he thought about his future and he worked accordingly. He knew he wasn't set out for the labor, hard labor, manual labor. He knew that he didn't want to beg. So then he used his street smarts to figure out what to do. He decided to cut all the bills of the people. And I was so confused because why would Jesus, usually the stories of the parables we hear the Good Samaritan and so many people like who are showing morally good attributes. But here we have someone who's dishonest and Jesus is using him in this parable. If we read verse 8, it says, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. When I read this, I thought, man, Jesus is making fun of us. Because he's like, yeah, you Christians are great, but those people of the world are just more street smart than you. Like, that's just one of their qualities. They're able to make these judgments. Like, one time I was on the bus coming home, and it's a GO bus, so it's packed. And, like, the rules are don't put your bag on the seat. So there's one guy, I was looking for a seat. I was going to sit beside him, but I looked at him, and right when I looked at him, he closes his eyes, and there's a bag beside him. So I find another seat. I see, like, he's awake, but when we reach the stop, his eyes close. And I see it as nobody wants to wake up that guy to say, hey, can you move your bag and can I take your seat? He was using his street smarts. He didn't want anyone to sit beside him. He wanted the extra leg room. But yeah, so Jesus just mentions that, hey, you guys are the sons of the light, but the people of the world, they're just so much more shrewd than you. And then verse 9, it says, and I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. I was like, what? Unrighteous wealth? God wants me to buy friends? And then when I thought about this, I looked at the history, what Jesus actually meant here. What the manager actually did, he didn't really take, money away from his master. You know how we go to, there's a manufacturer, the manufacturer sells an item to the shop, and then the shop, you know, marks it up so they make a profit. That's most likely what the manager was doing. I remember one time my dad was buying a Bible bag, and he went to one of those Chinese stores, and then he's like, I got this bag for $50 or something. I'm like, you paid $50 for that? And he's like, no, he gave me a discount. You know, you go to the store, and they have their calculator, they punch in, oh, for you, I give you this discount, and then they show you the price. But most likely, they're still making a lot of money on that. That's what the manager was doing. So he, the master only needed 50 measures of oil, but he made it 100 for his profit. So maybe that's why he got fired. He's like, none of my stuff is selling. You're doing such a bad job. My business is going under the water. So he calls back everyone and he tells everyone, hey, here, I'm going to give you a good price. Instead of 100, you pay 50. And in him doing that, he actually sacrificed his earnings. The manager saw what he did, and that's why he called him shrewd. So, God has called us to use our money to make friends. Don't twist the words that I just said. God has called us to, if we read what it says unrighteous wealth in the ESV. In the CEB translation, it says worldly wealth. So God has called us to use our worldly wealth to make friends. If you think about it, if you read the story once again, it says that the manager thought about his future. He knew he wouldn't be able to work and dig all day. So he thought, I'm going to sacrifice my earnings to give other people good deals. So then when I'm out of a job, they're going to welcome me into their house. And then he also made friends with his master again because he did what was right. So in the same way, if we read once again in verse 9, it says, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. What does that mean? So what is wealth here on the earth? It's money, but there's so much other things that are that is precious to you, right? I'm going to name three of them. We have money. We have our time. We have, you know, we love others. These are all things that are wealthy on earth. Time is wealth. Money is wealth. And also your love has some worth, right? And also your talents have wealth too. God is calling you, everyone here, to use those worldly wealth, those worldly riches, to make friends. So then when these things fail, when love fails, when life fails, when money fails, they will welcome you into your eternal home. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. Let's take it in like this. So say I would use my money. Say I'd use my money to make friends. So let's say I'm going to mission school, so maybe somewhere down the line you're going to hear me ask me, begging you guys for funds to go somewhere. But say you give money to a missionary to go somewhere. That's making friends. I'll explain it later, but that's making friends using worldly wealth. Say you invest your time into someone. Maybe it means giving a ride to someone to that one meeting, even though they're like 30 kilometers out. You're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And maybe there's also giving your love to someone and like seeing someone and working on them. Hey, come, let's get a coffee. Let's talk. Are you okay? How's your prayer life? That's your love. And also talents, just maybe doing something for the church, even if it's the smallest thing. But one thing that it specifically says, the verse says, they will welcome you into your eternal home. Think about on that day when we get to heaven, and then that one person you love so much, who you spend so much, comes up to you, and he's like, thank you for what you did. Because of your love, I'm here. And only because you took the time for me, that's why I'm here. Thank you, and I welcome you into eternal home. And let's say you see that one person and you're thinking, God, how'd this guy get in? Who let this guy in? They're letting anyone in here now. But then you think about it, and he says, you might not know it, but that one time where you gave me a ride to youth worship, that one time you gave me a ride to the meeting, it changed my life forever. Even if I never talked to you again or I never saw you, what you did, it changed me. I got friends in university who give me a ride, and they're legitimately like going to the pump and filling $5, and they're struggling so hard, and then I feel so bad. You guys want some gas money? You know, these people, they're giving up their time. They're driving out and taking those people to places, and we don't know, but it has an impact on those people. And then that person says, thank you for giving me that ride. It changed my life forever, and only because you did that, I'm here today. I welcome you into eternal home. And then this other person comes, and you've never seen them before. And they come to you and say, hi, I know who you are. And you're kind of creeped out. And you're like, I don't know you. And they say, you're the person who gave the money to the missionary who came to my country and told me about Jesus. If you never gave the money, I wouldn't be here. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Using our worldly wealth to make friends here and now so they can welcome us into eternal home. Can I just ask the worship team to come up? I'm telling you now, we tend to get discouraged about where we are at in our Christian lives. Verse 10 specifically says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. God gives you maybe very little. Maybe God gives you just this much time, or God gave you this much money, or God gave you the ability to only love this much. But if you're honest in these small things, God will know that you're honest in the big things. Even now, if it's small, God knows that he can trust you with the big things. But right after it says, if you're dishonest in those small things that God has given you, in whatever God has given you, that he expects you to make friends with other people, he knows you're going to be dishonest in the big things. And he also says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? If you haven't been faithful with what God has given you now and what you're capable of, how can he trust you with the riches of heaven? And if we continue to read, it says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? We tend to think that I earned this, I did this, it's because of me. But at the end of the day, as a Christian, we remember that God has given that to us, and that's what we take on as Christians because we believe that. God has given me this time. God has given me the ability to love. God has given me such talents. God has given me whatever money. And that is not ours, but when we use it for God, then God knows that he can also give us things that will be ours in heaven. And I'll lead one last verse. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. The thing about worldly riches, we get so caught up in our what we want and what could make us happy when it can't bring us happiness. The thing is, that advertisement on TV that says you need this car to be happy, it's not going to make you happy. The toothpaste that they show on the advertisement that's going to make your teeth pearly white, it's not going to work. And then when we get so caught up in this worldly wealth, that's why in some versions it's termed unrighteous wealth, because it can go so wrong. Wherever you're at in your life and whatever God has called you to do, I'll read one verse as an encouragement to you guys. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen. Knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Whatever, I'm going to say it again. Maybe I'm repeating it, but whatever God has given you, your money, your time, your talents, the ability to love other people, you have to use these things, even if it's in the smallest thing, even if it's the smallest role in church, even if it's in the smallest way, and it's the hardest. God has entrusted you with these things so that you will work for his kingdom. I'll just ask all you guys to stand up. We're just going to sing one song. Just remember that you are God's people. And He expects something of you. You're chosen for a reason. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Don't be like that manager. Don't be like the bad manager who only waited to the last second to do what was right. Think about how more pleased the master would have been if he was honest from the beginning. Think about now. The end is near. I'm calling you to invest in the kingdom. Don't wait until the time's up or you know you're in a struggle to start investing in the kingdom. When you reach heaven and you've invested fully, God will say, you're not like that shrewd manager, but because I'm pleased that you were so shrewd, but I'm also pleased because you obeyed me. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know where life will go. Life could end in an instant, and we might not be here anymore. But I was reminded of this yesterday. The scary thing is, if you don't do what God wants you to do, He's going to find someone else. If you don't use what God has given you, He's going to find someone else to use. And we as Christians, we love God. And because we love God, we want God to use us because we want God's vision to come true. I'm calling you, don't move away from what God has called you to. Even if it's the smallest thing, be strong and immovable in those things so that you will be able to stand the test of time and that you will know that this is not in vain. Even if the smallest thing is in vain, don't pass it up. Because God, there's so many people who are willing. I'm telling you, there's so many people on fire for God who God can use. But since we love God, we know that we want Him to use us. Hallelujah. Start singing. We're just going to sing the song. Hallelujah. Sing along with me. Hallelujah.
I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved. In Jesus' name, highly favored and anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am whole, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name.
Praise, hallelujah.
God, you're so good.
invite you to shout a praise unto God. Make these sounds worship Him, for He is worthy. He is seated on the throne. He is worthy of all praise. He's worthy of every breath I could ever breathe. He is worthy of the song I can sing. He is worthy of His life. He is worthy of who I am. All I am I can give to Him, because He is God, and He created me, and He created me, and He brought me back to Him. And I'm never the same. I'm never the same anymore because of what He did on that cross. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's God alone. He's seated on that throne, worthy of everything. It's all for Him. This stage is for Him. Our lives are for Him. What comes out of our mouth is for Him. It's not for us. It's not a performance. It's for Jesus. For He is worthy. He is seated on the throne. He's God on high. He's coming back one day, and we will be a part of His kingdom. We will work for His kingdom. We are invested in His kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus. Sing it, sing it, sing it.
God,
You're so good. Hallelujah.
You're so good.
Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. God.
You're so good.
Sing it out. Praise Him. Praise Him, one who is worthy. He's seated on the throne. Hallelujah.
You're so good.
You raise your hand up and praise Him. Hallelujah.
God, You're so good.
Worthy. What's the word? Hallelujah.
You're so good.
Seated on the throne, Jesus. You are worthy. Satan, put that wall. Break out, break out. Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out. Hallelujah. Don't let that thing in your life stop you from going to the next level. Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are worthy, God. Worthy of everything. Worthy of who I am. Worthy of what I can bring. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm just gonna pray for you guys. Everyone here, Lord, I'm calling you. God is looking for people on fire for Him. God is looking to raise it up in you guys, even if you don't see it now. God has a vision. Don't stand aside, for God is calling. Hallelujah. I'm gonna pray for you guys. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank You for all that You've done, Jesus. Thank You for this church, Lord. Thank You for who You put in place, Lord. Thank You for everyone here, Father. I pray for every single person here, Lord God, from the oldest to the young. I pray for our youth, Jesus. Lord God, that You will raise up people who are on fire for You, Lord. That You will raise people who won't stand aside, God. That You'll raise people to use what You've given them to invest in the kingdom. So when they make it to heaven, the people who they've helped can say, You're welcome to eternal home. Thank You. Thank You. They'll bless God for you because of what You've done, Lord. I pray, Lord, just that You just send Your Holy Spirit here, Lord God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit to anoint everyone here, Lord, that their lives may change, Lord, that they may turn to You, hallelujah, that we won't be like that bad manager, we'll be like a good manager, so when God sees us, He'll say, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I'm so proud of you, my son, my daughter, you were shrewd, but you were also so obedient to what I commanded. And I just bless these ones here, these young people, whatever they're going through, Lord. You know, Jesus. Lord, us, we won't understand. Maybe the older people won't understand, God, but there is unseen spiritual powers that are at work here in these young children, Lord. And I just cast it out in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. That You will move here, Lord God, and You will bless these kids, Lord Jesus, and You will work, hallelujah. Lord, because You are worthy of all the honor and praise forever and ever, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that You send a peace, Jesus. Peace over this church. Peace over every heart. That they know that You are God and that You are in control. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You for this time. Thank You for meeting us here, Jesus, where we can just worship You, Lord God. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You for what You're doing. And we pray that You continue to work here, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In Your Son's name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.